It's time now for Gina Gardner and Friends, the show that shares stories from inspiring people, from a wide range of expert guests, all focused on helping you live a happier, more successful, and fulfilling life. Gina Gardner is a multiple number one international best-selling author, motivational speaker, business coach, and trainer. She's the founder of Genuinely You and has over 30 years' experience of helping people step into their genuine, authentic power, personally and professionally.
Matthew.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
And now, here's your host, Gina Gardner.
Hello there, and a huge welcome to this week's episode of Gina Gardner and Friends. Today, I'm joined by Rima Benario. She's a dream weaver, a soul coach, and a wild heart healer. So Rima, a huge welcome. Thank you very much for joining me on the show.
Oh, so grateful to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Now, your job roles are not your average job roles, are they?
No, I wouldn't say so.
So could you give us a bit of background in terms of how you came to be doing these things and what they actually are?
Sure. Primarily what I do is support women in creating a life they love. And part of the crux of that work tends to be focusing on balancing the need we have to take care of ourselves and have our own needs met, and juxtaposing that to the desire we have to help take care of others. And sometimes that can create some conflict for us about how we manage to do both at the level we'd like to. And so for that reason, I help women weave their dreams into reality, and I coach at the level of soul rather than it's not really coaching designed to help. I mean, you might make more money as a result of working with me, but it's coming from a place of creating greater alignment with our soul mission and our soul purpose on the planet. And then I really love to help my clients find a way to get back to their wild nature, to their unconditioned self, the pre-wounded essence of who we are in our wildest heart. And so that's really what makes me the happiest, is to be able to help women do that.
Sounds amazing. So how did you come to be doing this?
Probably it came from the fact that I needed all of that help myself. And I went on my own journey. And I've been early in life, I was a school teacher. And then I worked in social services for a while and communications. And then I became a mom and was sort of really seeing how so much of the trouble and trauma that happened to me in my childhood was destined to be repeated if I didn't take some steps to change my way of being and my conditioning and what I had, the models I had growing up. Yes. So I was really, really motivated to do that work. And I ended up moving into very spiritually focused self-help arenas. I went to work for a very conscious-oriented spiritual organization here in the United States called Unity. And I ended up getting a doctorate in transformational psychology. And so I did shadow work and was a practice shadow work worker. I've been doing that for the last 15 years. And then through that, started doing some sacred travel work. And that just opened up all kinds of things, going to Egypt and discovering a connection to the ancient healing arts that are found in that part of the world. And through that, I started bringing together all these different areas of my life through archetypal work, and particular the work with the queen archetype. And so that's how I've landed where I'm at today.
There's just so much in there, isn't there? And I think that for many women, well, people, but women, I don't know what your view, very many women that I have met and worked with have got to a certain age and they have recognized that actually what they've been doing has not been fulfilling. Well, or it has been at a certain level that they know that there is more, mm-hmm. and that being able to access that more creates something, a life that is in a very different place. We're going to be talking about receptivity. And before we start, I'd like to ask you, what's your definition of receptivity, so that we are actually talking from the same hymn sheet in terms of what that means? And then we're going to explore how that has an impact on people and their lives and their level of fulfillment.
Yeah, sure. So in order to be really aligning with the feminine principle, we have to understand that on an energetic level, the feminine principle, the archetypal energy of the feminine, is a drawing inward. And that's really the superpower of the feminine capacity. It's all about the ability to magnetize and receive and draw in. And our world tends to completely discount this idea as powerful and only seems to recognize the outward flow, the productivity, the push, the masculine form, which is an outward energy, as the only way of being in the world. And very often as women, all of us have to engage in this world, and it seems to work better for male embodied people because it's more aligned with the way their energy body operates. They get charged by giving out because they're in our power centers in our pelvis. And as you can see from the plumbing, this is an outward expression in the male body. And in the female body, it's an inward expression. So what charges us is actually to receive. And it can be really challenging when we look around in the world and, you know, our male counterparts are like, I don't see what the problem is here. Why can't you keep up? Why are you so tired? Why do you need something different than what I need? But we do. And this has been a massive learning. And I think, as you spoke about, when we hit a certain age, if we've been mothering is a very masculine act, even though we've genderized it as a feminine thing, as a woman's thing. Of course, gender is very different from these archetypal energies. And it's an outflow. All of our energy is going out, and we get to the end of that time, whether we've been birthing a career or birthing little people. we arrive at this place where we say, okay, enough. I have to stop all that outflow and think about what's going to fill me up. It's my turn. It's my time now. This is the arrival of the queen. And the queen is so important because she recognizes she can't be successful in doing her role in taking care of the queendom and serving as the sovereign if she is not exquisitely well resourced. She must be an excellent receiver so that she has what she needs in order to be able to do her job. And that's just something that a lot of women have been socialized out of understanding, that we need to be operating in that way. We need to make sure that we are receiving. And if we can fill ourselves up and give from luscious overflow rather than from indebtedness, the whole life experience changes, not only for us, but for the people who are receiving that which we want to give.
You know, I find it quite fascinating the different language that you're using. I talk to people about, you know, if you had a jug and you kept on filling up other people's glasses from that jug, without replenishing it, that jug would very quickly be empty. Whereas if you have it under a tap and you're actually just using what's overflowing from the jug, then, and the tap was consistently pouring into the jug, you'd never run out. Mm-hmm. But I just want to backtrack for a minute, because We talk a lot about feminine and masculine, and I know a lot of your work is with women, but is this as true for men as it is for women? Are we talking about the principle? You very quickly talked about it's not necessarily the gender, but I think it's important to make that clear. What's your view? And perhaps you could clarify that for our listeners.
Yeah, it's such a great question. So we first need to remember that when we talk about masculine, feminine energy, they're not tied to gender. All of us have both masculine and feminine capacities. So I love my masculine energy. It does incredible things. I can be very productive, very creative, and really bring a lot of things into the material realm. However, because I'm living currently in a female body, this was a missing piece for me. I didn't understand this. The way my body runs energy is actually different from the way a male embodied person runs energy. So if you think about in your remote control, you might have two batteries. One is facing one way with a little nut facing up, and the other is facing the other way. And it's like that in our two different bodies. And so I was running far too much masculine energy through my body, and it wasn't allowing me to feel nourished, to feel resourced, to feel luscious and juicy and feminine and open and soft and available and all the things that I wanted to have in my intimate relationship with my husband, and to feel good in my own body and relaxed instead of revved constantly, like I'm going always 90 miles an hour. I don't mind going quickly for bursts, but I don't do that as a practice anymore. And so when we talk about the need for rest, recovery, renewal, recharging, refilling, usually people think about that as the second act. That's the second thing. And it works that way very well when you have your battery in the way it runs in a male body. You can give first and recharge second.
Right.
But in a female body, we just work better if we fill first and give second. And that's just was a revelation for me, and it is for many of my students. It also helps them understand why if they have male partners, they can only receive so much, and it drains them to receive. Rather, it charges us to receive. So we have all these words, and we want to say all these things, and our male counterparts are very often going, okay, that's enough. Like they've hit their max.
Yeah.
Because it's actually draining for them to be on that end. And so we learn that there are these unseen dynamics happening that explain some of the struggles that we have in our relationships and in our work life and in our family life. And it starts to make everything go smoother.
This is fascinating. We've got to go for a short break now. Please don't go away, because there's just so many more questions to be asked and answered. So see you in a minute.
The IRS called and sent me an email requesting payment. Is this a scam?
Scammers often impersonate IRS employees by calling, emailing, or even texting you in attempts to steal your money or personal information. It is a scam. Do not respond. IRS scammers continue to be a serious threat to the public and have claimed victims in every state, and now have evolved to include pandemic-related scams. Scammers may be combative and threatening in order to bully you into sending them money immediately. The IRS always initiates communications by mail first and will never threaten to arrest or deport you or demand your personal information. The IRS does not request payment by phone, text, email, or gift cards. Protect yourself. Just hang up or delete the message. If you suspect you've been contacted by a scammer, submit an incident report to the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration at tips.tigda.gov. You can also call their TIGDA hotline at 1-800-366-4484.
It's Macy's Friends and Family Sale. Take an extra 30% off great gifts for any mom and 15% off beauty. Plus chef specials. Now at Macy's.
Welcome back. Rima and I are talking about receptivity and the difference between how male energy operates and female energy operates with how we ended the last section of the show. I'd like to talk to you about how conditioning has such an impact, because I think when we're talking about receptivity, particularly for women, I think that we have got generations of conditioning which says that women ought to behave in a particular way. And I just wondered what your view of that was.
Yeah, this is why being a shadow work facilitator has been so helpful for me, because I am a true believer that we have to understand the unconscious patterns that we've taken on as young children, our unhealed childhood wounds. Sometimes we call them unconscious habits of attention that we have created that are running our lives, you know, and so we don't always know that back there somewhere in our settings, there's a setting that's got us responding in this way where we're people pleasing all the time. And we're doing it because we want to feel safe. We want to feel secure. We want to feel loved. We want to feel accepted. And this is how we were taught to gain all of that, is by taking care of other people. And we have to be willing to do the hard work of looking under the rug to see what's under there, so that we can make decisions about, is any of that stuff we want to keep? What is not serving? What do we want to increase or expand on? What do we need to let go of? And this conditioning that we've been raised in is like a filter that clouds how we see the world. So if we were told certain things, like we were too much or we were not enough, most women feel both of those things at the same time, which is really crazy. Like on the one hand, you're too much, but you're also not enough. We end up living our lives in ways, settling for relationships that mimic these old woundings, not being able to give our gifts to the world, our medicine to the world, because we don't feel confident in who we are. All those kinds of things can happen as a result of this unconscious conditioning that's led us to believe we need to be a certain way.
You know, it's interesting for me. My background is that I was a principal or head teacher for over 20 years. And so I could see the patterns of conditioning in a way. I think that perhaps if I hadn't had that role, I probably would not have been so aware of it. But how often parents would dumb a child down, you know, in terms of, we don't be boastful, you know, don't be too cocky. Why are you thinking you can do this when actually it's going to be too hard for you? And, you know, I think we underestimate what children are capable of. I've just read a book, and in fact, he's going to be on the show in a few weeks' time, a 12-year-old who's written the most amazing book about business and, moreover, was a millionaire by the time he was 14 in his own right. And I think when you get past conditioning and when you choose to think about how do you want your child to think about themselves moving forward, we have an opportunity to change those patterns. And it's my belief that this generation, the people who are here now, not only are there to heal themselves, but are in some way energetically to go back and heal and break the cycle of past generations that have consistently created the same conditioning time and time again. Again, I'd be interested in your take.
Well, I think every generation sort of has its own unique set of circumstances that go into the conditioning. We of course experience conditioning inside of our own family dynamic. Mm-hmm. We are also conditioned by the larger culture that we're embedded in, the time period we're embedded in. I like to think of children usually as our elders in universe time. And they're struggling to sort of find their own way and get their own footing. And things are evolving at very quick speeds now, as we have access to all kinds of information that used to be only available to certain people in certain social classes or religious classes. And so we definitely have to be taking a look at how we parent. Parenting is a huge issue. And for me, that was a big motivator in changing myself so that I could parent in a way that was better than what I had received. I'd fortunately done enough of my own healing before I had my child to know that that didn't really work well for me. And I had all this work to do through therapy and 12-step work and other kinds of spiritual work to help find myself again, to recover from that conditioning. Yeah. So I didn't want to pass it on, but of course I did, right? It doesn't matter how hard we try, we're going to make mistakes and fail. And those moments will be the places where our children will dig deep and come to their own realizations and do their own healing work and find their own gifts. All of this work that I've created in my life is a result of healing from early trauma. So, you know, while we don't want to continue to create those dynamics unnecessarily, we also recognize that adversity is sometimes the path through which we evolve. We can also evolve through the path of pleasure, the via positiva versus the via negativa. That can bring up just as much challenge for us because it might help us notice that we have worries of unworthiness or feelings of not good enough if great things are happening and we just think, I don't know if I can handle it. So, you know, both sides of the spectrum are creating opportunities for us to grow more deeply into who we can become. In a way, it's like a remembrance of our essence, our essential nature, our pre-wounded self.
I couldn't agree with you more in the sense that I believe that our whole life is the opportunity for learning and that we can learn through positive experiences, but often the lessons that we learn through challenge are, or certainly from my personal experience and working with the clients that I've worked with, that the huge opportunities for growth that lie in those challenges and those traumas, if you choose to look for them. Mm-hmm. We've got to go to another quick break now, so please don't go away. I'd like to explore this whole business of dreams and being able to live your dream in the final part of the show. So please don't go away.
What is it, Julia? Why are you so excited, honey? Do you want to use your talker? With Julia's autism, using a talker can help her find the words she wants to say.
My God.
You want to do something with Rose, Julia?
Play ball.
Do you want to play catch with Rose? I think Rose is excited to play catch too. Oh, Julia, you show us so many different ways to talk together. And play. Good catch, Rose. Okay, give Julia the ball. There you go. Okay, throw the ball, Julia.
For Julia's family, early screening for autism made a lifetime of difference. Find out more at screenforautism.org.
Hey.
1 hour pickup order?
Got it.
Thanks. Rana Bink and I have a big meeting today.
And 2 boxes of Twizzlers.
Yeah, for the team.
The team.
Yeah, team.
Go team.
Go team!
Know what's better than overnight shipping? Free 1 hour pickup when you order online or on our app at Office Depot Office Max.
Welcome back. I'd like to spend a few minutes thinking and exploring Dreamweaver. I mean, for most people, I think they think of those circles that are created by Native Americans that are the dream catchers, I think they're called, rather than dream weavers. What do you mean by dream weaver?
The dream weaver archetype is connected sort of to the grandmother spider woman and the Ariadne story of like taking all of the different parts of what's happening and weaving them together into a tapestry that creates something beautiful, that tells a story, that holds a message. And for my work, it's about empowering women to recognize that their dreams are meaningful. They have also been entrusted with a dream of the divine, just like everyone else who's created something beautiful. And so sometimes we need support in getting permission to know that our dreams are worth moving towards. And that dream can be something as simple as it's not simple, but something as we might think of as non-spectacular is just having a harmonious marriage. Yes. Or it could be to have a high quality relationship with a child, an adult child. Or it could be to get a book published and to teach and write and speak or help serve some underserved population. And so whatever it is that is the dream of a woman's heart, I feel passionate about helping her figure out what has been in the way of her taking just the next smallest step toward that dream. And if you can identify what that next smallest step is and just take that next smallest step and keep doing that process one day on to the next, before you'll know it, you'll have an international podcast or you'll have some form of gift to the world that is heart fulfilling. And we are here, I believe, to give our medicine and our magic to the world. And so I feel so honored to help those who are interested in doing that find their way forward.
So where can people find you if they're interested in taking up some of the things that you have on offer?
The best place to come and find out about my work is my website. It's rimabonario.com, R-I-M-A-B-O-N-A-R-I-O. And as far as I know, I'm the only Rima Bonario in the world. And so you can Google me and look for me on social media. I'm on Facebook, quite active there. I have a YouTube channel. I do a little bit here and there on LinkedIn and Instagram, but primarily you'll find me on YouTube and Facebook. And so you can connect with me through the contact form on my website, or just email me directly at rima@rimabonario.com. If you have questions or want to ask about something, I would be more than happy to hear from the listeners.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Now, we're very proud to be members of B1G1, Buy One, Give One. It's an organization that works globally to help underprivileged people. Give them a hand up. All of the projects are fully vetted and are all based on giving people the tools with which to live an empowered life. One of the things that's great about them is that they raise the money to run the charity, not through your donations and through other ways. And so every cent, every penny of what is donated goes towards these projects. We belong, I'm very happy to do so, and we invite all our guests to choose one of four projects, and we change them from as time goes on. But at the moment, it's clean water, education, health, and the environment. And we'd like to donate on your behalf to B1G1. Which of those projects would you like us to donate to?
I think right now we're in a water year. We're the year of the rabbit, if you follow the Chinese lunar calendar. And so I'd say clean water is a very important topic that we need to be addressing. So that would be my choice. And thank you for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. If you are a business owner listening to this show, then I would really urge you, go and have a look at b1g1.com and become a member. You can help people, but it also can help you with your marketing. It's been done in such a way that it's really simple to use and that there's lots of support to help you get the best out of it. The most important thing out of it is making kindness part of your business, part of your day-to-day life. Now, if you listen to the show, then remember that you can help other people simply by getting other people to listen too. We give meals to the hungry based on the number of people who are listening. So please do help us help other people. Rima, I'd like to say a huge thank you for being part of the show. Thank you very much. It's really interesting, the work that you do. And to say to you as listeners, thank you very much for listening. I'd love to know your story, how you're doing, what you like about the show, the themes that you'd like us to cover. And my email is Gina, G-I-N-A, at Gina Gardiner and Friends. And so Gardiner is G-A-R-D-I-N-E-R. So that's Gina at Gina Gardiner and Friends. And I'm at the moment building up my YouTube channel. There's over 700 videos on the channel and building up subscribers. So it'd be wonderful if you could go and subscribe to Genuinely You with Gina Gardiner. Thanks again for joining us. And I look forward to seeing you on the next show. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening to Gina Gardner and Friends, the show that helps you live a happier, more successful, and fulfilling life. To learn more about Gina Gardner, go to genuinely-you.com. If you would like to work with Gina or book her as a speaker, email her at gina@genuinely-you.com.